Bob Boving here for the Mystery Project to bring you the next episode of our series, Clean Sweep. Family backgrounds can be a tangled skein, hard to follow all the strands. And sometimes, they wrap secrets too dangerous to air. But if there are puzzles, Bonnie Marsden just naturally has to know the answers, even when her common sense tries to warn her off. Deborah Allen and Richard Donat star in Waltzing with Hilda, this installment of Clean Sweep by Alf Silver.
Okay, see you Tuesday, Louise. That's funny.
What's funny?
Louise Blanchard. You remember? The new girl at the credit union?
Oh, yeah. You had a pet name for her, didn't you? What was it you called her? Yeah. The little bint who took your job.
Oh, she's not that bad, just young. Anyway, I only really talked to her the once, back last year when I was trying to find out where that check had come from. So now, out of the blue, she calls me back and says she owes me lunch. Like it was just last week or something.
Well, don't go looking a gift lunch in the mouth. Where's she going to take you?
Just to Wade's. It's handy, the credit union.
Just to Wade's? Rich, young executive like her? Call her back and tell her you won't settle for anything less than the Balmoral Inn. With the Chateau Brie on and the Clary wine and Caesar salad.
You gonna finish your fries?
No. Help yourself.
Thank you. Well, anyways, Bonnie. Anyway, I have to, in all honesty, confess that when I asked you to do lunch, it wasn't just because I suddenly remembered it was my turn. It's, my grandparents.
Your grandparents?
On my mother's side. They're Mennonites. I guess when they were my age, there were hardly any Mennonites in Nova Scotia. Now there's thousands, with a whole bunch immigrating from Belize and other places. And a lot of Nova Scotians are converting.
A lot?
More than a few. Anyway, I guess belonging to a church that says any kind of violence is wrong appeals to people these days. My grandparents' brand of Mennonites isn't all that strict or more strict than the United Church, but even so, my grandfather is sort of shunned, if you know what that means.
Yeah, I saw Witness, the movie. It means nobody can talk to him or sit down at the same dinner table with...
Oh, it's nowhere nearly that bad. That's Amish and the Old Order Mennonites. I don't know that much about it, but in my grandparents' kind of Mennonite, it just means that he can't go to church, which I don't think bothers him the slightest. Still, it impacts greatly on my grandmother. Apparently, they'd let him back in if he'd just stand up in front of the congregation and ask them to forgive him, but he won't.
Forgive him for what?
Oh, I don't know what in specific. There's something from way back before I was born, before my mother was born. But I think it's basically, he just can't keep his mouth shut.
How's that?
Oh, he can about personal things, like a cast-iron clam. My mom said she's asked him 100 times about what he did in his life before 1946, when he married my grandmother. But all he'll say is he was such a boring farm boy, he can't imagine what his Hilda saw in him. End of subject. But when it comes to opinions, he just can't keep his mouth shut. Once, when I was visiting them, back before they sold the farm, so that was back when you still had my job.
That was a long time ago.
And my grandfather was having coffee with another farmer who was Mennonite. Well, suddenly, the other farmer jumped up and stomped out of the house, and to the best of my knowledge, never spoke to my grandfather again.
Why?
Well, the other farmer had been shaking his head about some war that was in the news and saying if only more people in the world were good Mennonite pacifists. My grandfather started talking about the good old days in the Mennonite colonies in Russia before the communists started exterminating them. He said one of the reasons they were such good old days was because the good Mennonite pacifists didn't mind getting rich, selling wheat to the Tsar's army, and building wagons to transport the soldiers to war. Well, that's my grandfather for you. And that's why I asked you to lunch.
I don't quite get the connection.
Well, I know you're running a house cleaning business.
Some business. Me and a part-time helper.
My grandmother had a fall last month. My grandfather attempts to look after her in the little place they're living in now. But it's as much as he can do to keep up with the firewood in the garden. My grandmother feels guilty about the dust building up, but she really has to be discouraged from moving around. They can't afford to hire a cleaner. My grandfather doesn't even get a Canada pension.
But if he was married in 46, he must be old enough.
Oh, he's more than old enough, but he refuses to register for it. He doesn't even have a Medicare card.
I thought that was automatic.
I guess if you don't want it, you don't have to take it. And when my grandfather doesn't want to take something. If you have a slot open, I'd like you to clean their house once a week. I'll pay you the going rate plus 50%.
My going rate is what people pay good house cleaners.
Oh, the extra 50% isn't a gratuity. Ask the waitress if you think I'm a big tipper. It's to reimburse you for using another skill you have. You see, my grandparents can't know I'm paying you. My grandfather would be furious, and my grandmother would be chewed up, consumed with guilt. After 16 months as loan manager, I figured that someone who did the job for 16 years must be pretty good at inventing the proper spin for a given situation.
You mean at bald-faced lying? Mr. Klassen?
Yeah, I'm John Klassen. And you?
Bonnie Marston. I clean houses for a living. Well, sort of a living. I used to work at the credit union where your granddaughter Louise was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a granddaughter, Louise Blanchard.
Well, Louise and I happened to be talking, and she happened to mention about your wife having a fall and not being able to get around much for a while. And you see, years ago, my own grandparents got sort of frail and needed help around the house, and I was so busy with work and my own kids. But the church ladies, that was when I was still going to church, organized themselves to help out, and I felt so guilty. I told myself if I ever came across somebody in the same situation, and I had the time... You see, I don't like feeling I owe something I haven't paid back.
Huh? What church was that?
Oh, the United Church.
My Hilda and I, we are not cases of charity, Mrs. Marston.
It's not charity. How did you know I was Mrs.?
The ring? And you are a little old to be of a generation that would so easily say, my kids, without being married.
Oh, but like I was saying, it's not charity. It's keeping a promise I made myself way back when.
Well... It's good to keep a promise. Come inside and meet my Hilda.
Johann, what's this?
English, Hilda. We have a visitor. This is Frau Bonnie Marston. She has come to help us out.
Help out?
You see, we did make up a little cot out here for Hilda for now, while I sleep in the back room. Would you like me to lift you into the wheelchair for a little, Hilda?
Oh, I can manage all right.
Now, there's no need. I may be 72 years old, but I can still give you a lift from time to time.
Don, Johann Cornice Klassen, you are an evil man.
You knew that when you married me.
You're much carefuler vacuumer than ever I was.
I don't think so.
I hope Louise is paying you decent.
Louise?
Oh, I know you strung John some kind of story, and you should stick to it. He's a very proud man.
Louise said you'd be consumed with guilt if you knew she was paying you.
I'm too old for guilt. Guilt is a useless thing. We don't allow it into this house.
Would you like me to Windex your pictures? Or not.
Oh, please. That would be nice.
This one's lovely. Where is it?
Oh, that is Dresden, the most beautiful city in the world, or it was before the firebombing.
So you've been there?
Dresden? Me? No, I never traveled.
So your husband was in Dresden?
No. John grew up around Lüneburg, too.
Hmm.
He just came across that picture in a magazine. Time for FAFSA?
No. I have wood and wood and wood to split before the snow. I look for the axe file. An axe needs to be sharp.
So, I guess I won't be home for the weekend after all.
I can't for the life of me understand why a 20-year-old would rather go to a dance than spend 2 hours on a bus so he can watch his parents fall asleep in front of the TV.
Maybe someday I'll explain it to you.
Oh, Robbie, don't I remember you saying one of your teachers was a Mennonite?
Mr. Neustetter. I got him for a course again this year. He's a bit of a wonk, but not bad.
Could you ask him something for me? Could you ask him what the difference is between ya and yo?
Sure, Mom, but why?
Oh, just something I'm kind of curious about.
Mom, you're not getting curious again.
The girl can't help it. Talk to you later, Robbie. Thanks for calling.
Bye, Mom.
Take care.
Yo and ya.
Sometimes when John Klassen meant yes, he'd say ya, and sometimes he'd say yo. Wonder what the difference is.
You could ask him.
I don't think so. He obviously doesn't mind his wife being on Medicare. And in a pile of papers I was straightening up, there was a Canada pension check stub for her. But he won't take out a medical card or apply for Canada pension.
If there was more people like him, the system might not be going broke. Well, don't panic, Marnie. I don't have that many principles.
Hilda says they both grew up in Nova Scotia. But when she speaks in English, it comes natural to her. He has to struggle with it.
Well, maybe in his house they only spoke German. I know people who lived all their lives in Nova Scotia and have French accents.
Maybe.
Mr. Neustetter said that yo is Plattdeutsch and ja is Hochdeutsch.
How's that?
Low German and High German. Like in mountains or plains, not like in class. Plattdeutsch is what Mennonites speak, and Hochdeutsch is what Germans speak. In Germany.
In Germany. Robbie, the Mennonites in Nova Scotia must have some amateur, or what do you call them, genealogists? You can't live in Nova Scotia without someone rooting through your family tree. I wonder if Mr. Neustetter would know who might keep records.
Well, you hit the jackpot there, Mom. That's Neustetter's passion. Some say it's the only one he's got. I think he's got an entire hard drive filled up with birth dates and cross-references and... geez, Mom. If I let him get started on that, I'll never get out of there.
It's just one question, Robbie.
Mom!
Just one question and very specific. Ask him if there's any record of a Johann Cornies Klassen, born in Lunenburg County around 1925 or 26. Thinking about something. How'd the wedding reception go?
Not too much trouble. Chief wasn't there to organize it, so things ran pretty smooth. You gonna tell me what you were thinking about?
John Klassen.
What about him?
He's a Nazi.
Oh, for God's sake, Bonnie. You think Joseph Mengele or some other big deal Nazi's gonna hide out in the backwoods of Nova Scotia? Anyways, they finally decided Mengele has been dead for years.
I didn't say he was any kind of big deal Nazi, just a camp guard or something.
No.
Probably one of the reasons he doesn't have a medical card is he can't go to a doctor anyway. The SS had two little lightning bolts tattooed under their armpit.
Oh, so now he's not just any old Nazi. He's SS.
If he was just a German soldier, he could have immigrated legally. Hans, who used to run the woodworking shop, was in the Panzers. Nobody minded him becoming a Canadian citizen. I found out where the Klassen's old farm is. Amazing they could raise a flock of kids on a patch of scrub in the middle of nowhere. And I know the real estate agent who did the title search for the new owners. The deed was registered under Hilda Rempel. That must be Hilda's maiden name.
Lots of people do that.
Louise said her grandparents got married in 1946, just after the war.
Well, how's he supposed to have got here then? I don't think in 1945 or whatever, German fellows could just waltz up to the Canard Line office in Hamburg and say, give me a ticket to Canada.
Nazis managed to get here or to the States or Paraguay.
Sure, with forged papers or lied to immigration. You're saying this guy just appeared out of nowhere with no way to get here and no identity.
Robbie called back again while you were out.
Oh?
Poor kid spent half the night in Mr. Neustetter's office listening about Friesens and Reimers and Dicks and Rempels and Klassens and Penners. And there was no Johann Cornus Klassen born in Lunenburg County in 1925 or 1926 or 27 or 24 or 23 and not in any other county in Nova Scotia.
So what are you figuring on doing?
Well, maybe there's some other explanation I haven't been able to figure out. So before I call Corporal Qualchuk or Immigration or whatever, I'll go ask Johann Corny's Klassen.
I'm going with you.
What? You figure he's got a Luger hidden under his mattress? Is it safe?
This isn't a conversation, Marty. I'm going with you.
Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, who'll come a-washing Matilda and me? And this goat's can be heard at...
Johann, someone come.
Come and say.
Mr. Klassen, Mrs. Klassen. This is my husband, Ben Marston.
Hello? Oh. Oh, I am afraid I have just washed away the coffee.
Ben Marston is his real name. What's yours? You're not a Mennonite. You're a Nazi.
You are so, so wrong, Frau Bonnie Marsden. My born name is Johann Cornis Klassen, and no more Mennonite can be a name. I am a Mennonite and a Nazi. Or I was a Nazi.
Johann!
Nay, Hilda, I will not be ashamed.
Please.
So, Frau Bonnie Marsden... Herr Ben Marsden, now you catch me out so clever. Now that Hilda and I get so old, we must let a stranger in our home. So what have you hunt down, hmm? You think you know?
Were you SS?
Schutzstaffel? Nein, they would never have me. You think it is so simple. Lucifer Nazi. Do you know why Catherine the Great brought the Mennonites to Russia?
What?
Because there was Russian land that was just desert and wilderness. Within three generations, the Mennonite colonies, where I was born, was the garden of Russia. Then came the Bolshevik Revolution. Now, what would you say if you live on a beautiful farm... Your great-grandfather built from desert, and Bolsheviks come to tell you you must give away your cattle and grain to people who never pushed to plow.
Guess I'd tell them to go to hell.
Yo, that is what my father did tell them. And so two men come on horseback when my mother is in the garden and say, where is the man Heinrich Klassen? And she say, by the barn. And they say... Take us to this Menschnomen Heinrich Klassen. And she go to the barn and call my father, and out he come, and they out with their shotguns. Then one of those men on horseback, he take out a sword, and he say to my mother, you cut off the head of that dead man so we can take back to the commissar and show we did what we sent to do. What would you do, Frau Bonnie Marsden? Your husband is a dead man lying in front of you, and you have a living small girl and a baby boy?
I...
Yeah. My mother sawed off my father's head and gave it to the men on horseback. In the year to follow, she did somehow, I don't know how, make our escape into Germany. First to Dresden, the most beautiful city in the world. And later to Berlin. It was no escape. Do you know of Berlin in the 1920s into 30s?
I've read it.
So did I. Long after to try to understand. I was too young then to know why the whole world, not just Bolsheviks, did make it so that to be German, to speak German, was to live worse than swine. You walk along the street and you see your big sister and wonder, what is she doing there? And then you see what? She is selling herself for potatoes. And then you know what you do? You sneak home, and when she come home, you help her eat them potatoes. And then rising out of that scheiss and dreck, comes the National Socialist Party, telling us that we can live like human beings. To march and fight is wrong. Yeah, but is it not more wrong for a man to stand aside while his family, his people die, to keep his soul pure? So, Hitler Youth for me. But when the wars start, I am too young to go fight Bolsheviks like I would wish. But there is another branch of service, even more elite than SS. A service where it is a good thing to not be full gold man, and a very good thing to have a knack for keep a diesel engine running with spit and binder twine. The wolf pack. You understand? Unterwasser? A good moving picture, but the food looked too good. But we had plenty fresh fish sometime. Brave fisher boats from Lunenburg would cross all the way to fish Portugal water, no matter the battle of the Atlantic.
Yeah, I heard some old fellas talking. Portugal rhymes with neutral.
Who knows how it did start? A U-boat in the night train her gone on a schooner and heaved aboard. And this is loose. The fisher boatmen call back in Deutsch. It is a strange kind of Deutsch. Kind of...
antique.
Yeah.
Bible German.
But still, Deutsch. And the fishermen and U-boat men can understand one another. So is made
an arrangement.
Do you?
Yeah. So, who is traitor? The Lunenburg men who trade fresh fish for safe passing? Or the U-boats who let the fisher boats take fish back to feed the enemy? Both stay alive. And then, while das boat is in the dry dock, I have leave to go about in the new Europe we have made. And I see. I see what is the difference between us and the devil Bolsheviks. We had shinier boots, and Stalin had a bigger mustache. But I was trapped in that uniform. You think in Germany in 1943 you can just say, "Sorry, Führer, I don't want to be in your navy no more." But then, one night, when our U-boat is beside a Canadian fish boat again, I hear that two of these Lunenburger fishers speak to each other not in English, not in Hochdeutsch, but in Plattdeutsch. I whisper to them, "My name is Johann Cornis Klassen. Help me." In all the fuss and the dark and moving fish baskets, they manage to hide me in the hold. So I come to Canada in 1944, September.
October?
Yeah.
Yo.
So, those two Mennonite fishermen were the older brothers of a girl named Hilda Rempel.
Peter and Hugo.
She was little more than a girl then, but she grew fast. All would have been good, except that I was too dumb-high to understand about... find a dead baby in...
the obits.
No. By the time I know of that, there are people who know John Clarkson, the Mennonite, who can fix old motors. By time I learn of how to change my name, it is too late. So, all to do is... no government papers, ever.
But then, how did you get married?
We are not married.
Yo, Hilda, by the elder, only not by law. If we are not married in the eyes of the church, they would never let you in, even though you did stand up in front of the congregation and beg forgiveness for having a man who has killed other men. But if they think I beg them to forgive me, they who never saw their home put to the torch, never dug in the gutter for cabbage rot, I tell them what I tell you, Frau Marsden, Herr Marsden. You want to send the Nazi hunters in immigration to get me? Fine, but they won't get whole revenge, because they cannot touch my wife and children and grandchildren. As for me, I say they and you can go to hell. I've been there already. All the young days of my life, until the day Peter Rempel did say, "This is my sister, Hilda."
Yes, sir. Barney, we'd better be getting home before Melissa gets home from school.
I guess we'd better, Ben. Mr. Clausen, would you walk us to the car?
I guess that would be politeness.
Johann?
I don't go far, Hilda. Not yet.
Not ever. I lied to you.
You?
About my grandparents and the promise.
Oh, you mean lie about Louise's paying you.
You knew?
It is not a wise bet, Frau Marsden, to lie to a man who has been lying every day for 50 years. But don't tell Hilda, okay?
You've been listening to episode 15 of Clean Sweep by Elf Silver. In the cast today, Deborah Allen was Bonnie, Richard Donat was Ben, Ryan Rogerson was Robbie Marsden. With them were Joseph Rutten as John Clausen and Irma Green as Hilda Clausen. Joanne Miller as Louise Blanchard completes our list of players. The music was composed by Scott McMillan and David McIsaac. The performance featured Gordon Stobie, Jamie Gatti, and Andre LaCroix together with the two composers. The recording engineer was Pat Martin, with sound effects by Dermot Kenny. The associate producer was Peggy Hemsworth, casting by John Dunsworth and Alex Duncan. Waltzing with Hilda was produced and directed in Halifax by Bill Howell, the executive producer of The Mystery Project. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments.